We're going to learn Daf Lamed Dalid in Masechtas Nedarim. What I'm going to do for clarification purposes is I'm going to start really from the two dots on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, about six or seven lines from the bottom. I'll read that quickly, even though we did do that last time, but it's the beginning of the sugya, and that's what we're discussing the whole day today, so, or at least on Amud Aleph today, so it makes much more sense to start over there, just so that we can keep track again, and then we'll see how it ties in as we continue reading through the Gemara on Daf Lamed Dalet. So, with no further ado, here we go. The Mishnah quotes Maser Lo Yaveh Dosai. So, the Mishnah really, the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph is lists a few things that would be a chiddush that even though one person says I'm not giving hanah to the other person, still. In other words, right, that this other Reuven and Shimon, that the Shimon is not allowed to receive a benefit from Reuven. Still, there are certain things that Reuven's allowed to give to Shimon, or at least indirectly give to Shimon, that even though it's considered a hano, or we would consider it a general hano, that's not the kind of hano that's also with his neder. It's not a beneficial monetary hano, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So one of those examples is where he finds an aveda. Where if you find an aveda, you're allowed to return the aveda. Now, the point of discussion that we're going to spend some time on today is who found the aveda, the madir or the mudir, which again is a very confusing lashon. The madir means the person who made the neder. The mudir is the one who the neder is made upon that is not allowed to receive the benefit. Is not allowed to receive the benefit. So who is not allowed to return to whom? That's really very much the part of the discussion today. So that's the quote of the Gemara over here towards the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Machzor Lo Yaveh Dosai, that you are allowed to return the aveda, even though somebody is usur bahano. And then the Mishnah is going to continue when we'll quote that part on the top of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, is that, and if you do return it, then, and there's a required payment, so then that payment is, if you can't pay it to the other guy, to the guy who returned the aveda, then you'll have to give it to the hekdesh. But let's worry about that sentence in a second. First, let's figure out who's usher to who in this scenario where you're finding an aveda and you're returning it. So, right away, again, as we said, we saw this last time, but let's just pick up on this quickly. Pligi bar Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. It's a machlokes between Rav Ami and Rav Asi. What are we talking about? Chad omar lo yishanu el b'shenichzei machzer asurin al bal aveda. So, one says that the scenario of our Mishnah is discussing a case where the guy who found it is not allowed to give. So we're saying that the case is that the machzer, the one who's returning the aveda, is not allowed to give a benefit to the guy who lost the aveda, right? The bal aveda means the one who lost the object. And we're still saying that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though I'm not, again, the one who found it is not allowed to give a note to the other guy, but still he can return his aveda. Why? Dechi mahadirle, meidem denafsheiko mahadirle. Because when he's returning the aveda, he's really giving him back his own thing. He's not giving him anything. It's what, when I say that it's also for me to give hano, what I usually mean is I'm not allowed to take from my property and give it to you. But this is your property, so therefore there's nothing wrong with me returning it. Okay? That's the avo. So that's why it's okay. That's why Mishnah says it's okay. Avo nichse bal aveda asurin al maser. But had it been the other way around, that the one who lost it is not allowed to give benefit to the one who found it, loyko mahadule, then he would not return it. Now this is a chiddush daka mahanile pruta de Rabbi Yosef, because then it would be the one who found it is getting a benefit of the pruta de Rabbi Yosef, as we discussed last time, which means that if somebody were to ask him for tzedakah during that time that he's dealing with the aveda, he would be exempt from giving the tzedakah. So that's a benefit that he'd be getting. So, and that would be considered get a benefit from the bal aveda. Okay? And that's why it would be usur. So this first shita says that I cannot return it if the machzer is getting a benefit from the bal aveda. However, that's one shita. V'chad amar, the other shita says, afilu nichsei bal aveda asur na machzer mahadolei. That even if the bal aveda is not allowed to give a benefit to the finder, still he could return it. What about the benefit? And the fact that he's going to get this benefit of Rav Yosef, it's not shchiach, it's not something that we take into consideration that therefore should create an isser over here. Okay, so that's the foundation. So it comes out that according to this statement so far in the Gemara, that returning this, according to this girsa in the Gemara, because we'll see there's going to be an ikka de'amri in a moment, but according to this girsa in the Gemara, if the one who found it is not allowed to give a benefit, returning an object is not considered giving a benefit, because it always belonged to that other guy. That's not the problem. The only issue is the other way around. When the guy who found it is not allowed to receive a benefit, if he can't receive the benefit, then it's a machloikas whether that the benefit of Pruta de Rav Yosef is considered a benefit, and therefore he would be prohibited from returning. If you consider Pruta de Rav Yosef a benefit, so then he can't return the Aveda. If it is considered a benefit, then he's not allowed to return the Aveda. So he can't return the Aveda means he shouldn't be picking it up in the first place, because the moment he picks it up, then he becomes obligated, and he's not allowed to return. Okay, so... so what we're going to do now that takes us to the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, what we're going to do is we're going to read the Gemara, and we're going to read the Girsa that we have written in our Gemara. We'll give it a quick explanation, and then we'll go back and we're going to read the Girsa that the Ran has, which is very different than the Girsa that we have in the Gemara. And therefore, a very somewhat of a different pshat. Again, the same idea ultimately comes out, but it's a different pshat in the Gemara. So, as we mentioned earlier, Tanan on the top of Lamed Aleph quotes the next part of the Mishnah. It says, "Mokam shenoytun le'aschar tipol hano lehektish." So, if it's in a place, it's in an area, a city that you get paid for returning the object, so then that payment has to go to hektish. Okay. So, what are we talking about over here? What is the schar that we're talking about? So. Right, I'm going to say the other pshat for a moment. They instituted this idea that they wanted people to be involved in takanas hashavas aveda. So they said, if you return an aveda, you get paid. That's not the Ran's pshat. That's the other pshat. Therefore you deserve to get paid. But since we're saying now that that the machzer is not allowed to receive a benefit. So he's not allowed, since he's not allowed to receive a benefit, so therefore he's not allowed to get that money. The money has to go to Hektish. So again, I'm reading the Girsa of the Gemara, which is the Girsa of Rashi and the Farish and other Rishonim, but this is not the Girsa of the Ran. So let's read this quickly. So as you recall, just a moment ago we said that when the Machzer is the one not allowed to receive a benefit, so don't worry about the pruta de Rav Yosef, he could still return it. So I understand. So I understand the words of the Mishnah that says, well, he's not allowed to receive a benefit directly. The pruta de Rav Yosef is not considered a real benefit, but to pay you for returning the object, that would definitely be considered a direct benefit from the Baal Aveda to the finder, to the guy who's returning it. That would for sure be usur. So I understand why the Mishnah is very clear, why the Mishnah says that you can't return, that you can't pay him and the money has to go to Hekdesh. Fine. El Lamandi Omar, Kishenichse Baal Aveda Asurin Amachzer. But according to the one that learns that when the finder is not allowed to receive a benefit, and therefore Loi Mahadar is not allowed to return it in the first place, so then, amai tipala no la hektish. So why is there a case in the Mishnah where that money has to go to hektish? If the halacha is that I'm not allowed, the guy when he finds it is not allowed to pick it up, and therefore he's not allowed to return it. So he's not going to pick it up in the first place, so that scenario doesn't exist. So if that scenario doesn't exist, why is the Mishnah giving us this halacha that he's not allowed to receive the benefit, but the benefit has to be paid, and it has to go to hektish? Why do we even talk about that scenario? To which the Gemara answers, right, again, this is all the Girsa of the Rashi. So the Gemara's answer, Achadu Ketani, Anachanami, that the Mishnah is not discussing that case. So while it's true that the beginning of the Mishnah might be discussing the where both it's also for the finder to get a benefit, and it's also, it could even be discussing where the Baal Aveda, the guy who lost it, can't get a benefit, in those cases, that could be the beginning of the Mishnah. But once you're dealing with the end of the Mishnah, that's dealing with the case where you have to pay, that cannot be discussing a case where the finder is usher to receive a benefit. That cannot be the case. because if that was the case, he wouldn't have picked it up in the first place. So the end of achad ketani means it's only going on one of the cases. It's only going on the case where the Baal Aveda was the one who's not allowed to receive a benefit. And therefore, and in that case, now the Baal Aveda is not allowed to receive a benefit, so he can't receive a benefit of keeping money that he has to pay. So Mamela, he has to give that money to Hekdesh. That's the way Rashi learns. Now, as I said, we'll read through that case. Now let's go back, and if you look at the top line of the Ran, I'm just going to read the Girsa of the Ran now. As I said, it's a very different Girsa, at least in this part of the Gemara, it's very different than the way the Rashi and the Mefarish learns the Girsa in our Gemara. And the Ran has a different pshat, therefore, because he has a different Girsa. So, Tanan, again, I'm reading straight out of the Ran right now from the top of the Yomah. Tanan, Malkam Shinoitin Olehaschar, Tipol Hanor Lehektish. Again, that's just a quote from our Mishnah that says, if it's a place where they pay for the return of an object, you have to give that money to Hektish. Now, the way the Gemara sets up the Kashra is like this. Bishloim Elamandi Yarmer Bishinichse Machzer Asurin Al Bala Veda. If the case is that the Machzer, the guy who finds it, is not allowed to give a benefit to the guy who lost it. Okay, so this is totally different than the Girsa we have in our Gemara. If the case is that the guy who finds it is not allowed to give a benefit, Aval Debal Aveda, B'nisay Machzer Asurin Abal Aveda. Right, that if the case is that the finder is not allowed to give a benefit to the Baal Aveda, so I understand where this case can happen. Aval debal aveda asurin al machzer loy mahader. But when the baal aveda, when the guy who lost it, is not allowed to give a benefit to the finder, and therefore he's not going to return it, Hainu diktani mokum shenoytum laschar tipo lehano lehektish. So then I understand why the Mishnah has to give a case where the money has to go to Hektish. And we'll explain in a second why that's true, because we just said that when the machzer is not allowed to receive a benefit, he's not going to return it at all. So why does the money have to go to Hektish? Okay, we'll explain in one second. Elamandi Yamar Afilu Nichsei Baal Aveda Asurin Al Machzer Nami Mahader. But if you learn that when the person who the Baal Aveda is not allowed to give a benefit, but even so he's going to return it, so why does the benefit, why do you have to make that payment now, even though it's the Baal Aveda, why do you have to give that payment to Hektish? So that is the Girsa that the Ran has, and so the issue is like this. The way the Ran learns the Gemara is that, first of all, two things. That when we talk about this case that you have to pay, the case, the way the Ran learns is that the guy who found it, who found the metzia, who found the lost object, is very wealthy, or is a big baal kavod, or whatever it is, and therefore he has no interest in taking the payment that the baal aveda, the guy who lost it, is going to give. He doesn't want to receive. He doesn't want to take the money. Now, what is he getting paid for? So that also is where the Ran changes a little bit, because it fits into his pshat better. It says, I'm taking payment because normally, if I'm busy with your Aveda, so I would be making money, I would be making money during that time. And now that I'm busy with your Aveda, so you have to pay me for that time. So, if the person is very wealthy, he's able to say, listen, don't worry about it, I'm happy to do the chesed, I'm happy to do this favor for you, I don't want to get paid for the 10 minutes that I spent with your Aveda. So I don't want to receive the money. But what this does is it creates a problem. Because if the point is that the Baal Aveda, so now we understand that if the case is that the Machzer is not allowed to receive a benefit, sorry, if the case is that the Baal Aveda is not allowed to receive a benefit, so now when the finder is meichel the money, what ends up happening is that the finder is now giving, because that's an obligation that the Baal Aveda has to pay. And now, if the finder is saying, I don't want you to pay me, that's the equivalent of the finder giving the Baal Aveda present. Because really the Baal Aveda is supposed to pay, and instead of paying, he's now it's not a matter of putting money back in his pocket, because this is money that he was really supposed to come out of his pocket, and he's now putting it back into his pocket, so that's really a benefit. So now I understand why the Mishnah says that you have to give that money to Hekdesh, because otherwise the Baal Aveda would be receiving an additional benefit, so to speak, an additional benefit that he's not entitled to. So in order to avoid receiving that benefit, he has to pay the money regardless. If you don't want to take it, no problem, I'll pay it to Hekdesh instead. Okay? So that makes sense. But so what's the kasha? So the kasha is, if you hold that the case is that the Nichsei Baal Aveda is not allowed to give to the Machzer, and he can return it. So one second. So the only case that the end of the Mishnah will be that the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about, the beginning of the Mishnah is only discussing a case, because if you hold loy mahader, so the beginning of the Mishnah is only talking about the case where the machzer is not allowed to give to the Baal Aveda. And it finds, since I can't give it to you, so clearly if that's the case of the Mishnah, so then that's the case where I have to give the money. If I do return it, then I have to give the money to Hekdesh. Meaning, the case in the Havamina of the Gemara, the case where the Baal Aveda, the beginning case is talking about where the Baal Aveda is usher on the Machzer, he can't return it. That's not the case of the beginning of the Mishnah either, because I wouldn't return it. So it has to be, the only case is that the Nichsei Machzer are usher. Right. So that was the first case of the Mishnah. First case was that the finder is not allowed to give a benefit to the Baal Aveda. That's the first case of the Mishnah. And then what happens is, when he has to pay, and the finder is not taking the payment, so that payment has to go to Hekdesh. So everything lines up, because that's the only case of the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah is where the finder is not allowed to give a benefit, and the finder is going to return the object, and he doesn't want to receive payment, so the payment has to go to Hekdesh. Everything lines, the whole Mishnah, the scenario, the case of the Mishnah, all works out. Again, because we're limited to that case where the finder is the one who's not allowed to give the benefit. Because the case was, when the Baal Aveda is not allowed to give the benefit, I wouldn't give it back. That case doesn't exist in the Havamina of the Gemara. Loy Mahadar. We're going according to that sheet of Loy Mahadar. So if I'm not going to return it, that's not the case of our Mishnah. So we don't have to discuss, because I'm not going to return it in the first place. I don't have to discuss where the payment goes. So that was never the case. But if you hold that the case was even by the Baal Aveda, so here's where the Ron gets interesting. If you hold that the case of the Mishnah is discussing even where the Baal Aveda is not allowed to give Hanoah, and even so it's mutter to return the object, so then why is the money going to Hekdesh? So here's where the Ran has two pshatim over here on what the Gemara's question is. Again, the Baal Aveda is the one that is not allowed to give the benefit. So just, and the Ran does point this out, so I'll repeat it also. But the one who's returning it is allowed to give a benefit. Which means when I'm Moichel, I'm allowed to give you that benefit that I don't have to pay. So there, we don't need a Mishnah. We don't need a Mishnah to tell us that the money has to go to Hekdesh, because I'm allowed to give you a benefit. I'm allowed to be Moichel. So you wouldn't have to make any payment also. But here's the problem. The problem is the other way. The problem is where the Baal Aveda is not allowed to give the Baal, so the case has to be that the Baal Aveda is not allowed to give the Hano. So then the Gemara's Kasha is, so if the Baal Aveda is not allowed to give the Hano, why can't he just keep the money? This is the way the Ran learns in his first shot. Why can't the Baal Aveda just keep the money? He goes, fine, I'm not allowed to give you a benefit. The reason why I'm paying you is because of the work that you're doing. Fine, but right now, I'm not allowed to pay you. So there's an Isser HaNo, so I just won't pay you. Why would the money go to Hekdesh? That's the way the Ran learns. The Kasha of the Gemara is, why would I give you that? Why would I say that I have to pay it to Hekdesh? If I can't pay you because of the neder, so then I just won't pay you. Or the second shot in the Ran, which is basically following the same logic, but just changes and says, again, why should it go to Hekdesh? I'll pay you. What's the problem over here? The problem is that I'm not allowed to give you a benefit. Remember, our definition of benefit, of giving you a benefit, is very different than what we normally think. anytime I give you a dollar, it depends on why I'm giving you the dollar. If I'm giving you a dollar and that's extra above and beyond what you deserve, that's considered a benefit. But if you work for me, you're my employee, or you work for me, and or I sell something to you, or I buy something from you, and I give you a dollar, that's not considered giving you a benefit. That's transaction. That's normal transaction. That's not considered a benefit. If that's not considered a benefit, so then why do I have to give the money to Hekdesh? Even if it's true that I'm not allowed to give, the Baal Aveda is not allowed to give a benefit to the finder, but that's not considered a benefit. That's just paying you for your services. Paying you for your services is not defined for these purposes as a benefit. And if it's not considered a benefit, so then I should be able to pay you. And if I should be able to pay you, so then why does the halacha, why is the Mishnah saying that I have to give the money to Hekdesh? What do I have to give the money to Hekdesh for? That's the, again, then the Ran has one or two other points, but that's the main kasha. Now, so what is the kasha of the Gemara? So now that we understand, the point is, we don't understand the scenario that the money has to go to Hekdesh. You should either not have to pay at all, or I could pay him and there's no problem with paying him. So that means that the first case of the Mishnah, that means that this case of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says that the money has to go to Hekdesh, can't be talking about the case where the Baal Aveda is usher to give money to the finder. That can't be the case, because we have no reason for this, for the conclusion of the halacha to be that the money has to go to Hekdesh. So how do we explain the Mishnah? Because if we assume that the case of the Mishnah is talking about both ways, meaning it was usher for the Baal Aveda to give the finder, and also it could be talking about that the finder is usher to give Hanoah to the Baal Aveda. In both of those cases, that's the beginning half of the Mishnah, that it's mutter to return the Aveda. But at the end of the Mishnah, it cannot possibly work where the Baal Aveda is usher to give a benefit to the finder. There's no reason why the money should have to go to Hekdesh. So therefore, the end of the Mishnah doesn't work. To which the Gemara then answers very simple, Achada Katani, Achada, right? So the answer of the Gemara is basically the same. Achada Katani means, you're right, we never meant that the end of the Mishnah that says that the money has to go to Hekdesh, you're right, according to all Shitas, is only talking about where the Machzer is not allowed to give a benefit to the Baal Aveda. That's the case. Only in the case where the finder is not allowed to give a benefit to the Baal Aveda, and the finder is saying, I don't want to receive the payment, and now the Baal Aveda is stuck, because if he keeps the payment, he's now considered getting a benefit from the finder, because the payment is something, so to speak, out of his pocket, and it's going back in his pocket. That's extra. So then, that's why, so Mimele, I can't keep that benefit, so I have to give that money to Hekdesh. That makes sense. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara, at least according to this Gears of the Gemara, that you're right, that case, so even if you want to say that the beginning half of the Mishnah, the way the Ran learns, so the beginning half of the Mishnah could be talking about both ways, even if you want to say that, it could be talking about both ways, that meaning that the Baal Aveda is not allowed to give the Hano, or the case where the Machzer is not allowed to give the Hano, it could be talking about either way. The case where it says that the money has to go to Hekdesh is only, Achada Katani is only going on that case where the Machzer is not allowed to give a benefit to the Baal Aveda, where the finder can't give a benefit to the guy who lost it, and he's being meichel the payment, and then the issue is that if he's being meichel the payment, but I'm not allowed to give you a benefit, so then you have to give the money to Hekdesh. All of that is the first girsa of, is the way the Ran learns this Gemara. Okay, but all of this is all in the first girsa of the Gemara, that it's saying that the machloikis between Rav Ami and Rav Asi is discussing whether or not the pruta de Rav Yosef is enough of a payment and therefore prohibits the guy who's the when the Baal Aveda is not allowed to give a benefit and I pick it up, I'm gonna get that benefit, whether I should have picked it up in the first place. That's the first gear of the Gemara. Now, okay, Ikeda Amri, Ikeda Masni Lo Bahai Lishna. There's those that learned that this whole, so to speak, Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara really happened as follows. Pligi Baravami Varavasi. There's a machloikas Ravami and Ravasi. Chad Omar Loishanu El Bishanichse Baal Aveda Asurin Al Machzer. This case of the Mishnah, the first case of the Mishnah that says that it's mutter to return the Aveda, is talking about where the guy who lost it is not allowed to give a benefit to the Machzer. And it's saying it's still mutter to return it. Why? Umishim Prutu de Rav Yosef Loishchiach. because don't worry about the extra dollar that you're going to have to avoid paying tzedakah. That is not something that is really considered a benefit. It doesn't happen often enough to create the halacha, so you're allowed to go ahead and return the aveda. Even though the Baal Aveda is not allowed to give me a benefit, this benefit of Rabbi Yosef is not a real thing. Avol, but nichsei machzor asur na Baal Aveda. But if it was the other way around, but if it was the guy who finds it is not allowed to give a benefit to the guy who lost it, so then loy mahadrei. So we would have to say that the Mishnah never meant that example. Why? Mishum dekama hanilei. Because I'm definitely giving you something. I found your wallet. I'm giving you your wallet. Now the Ran does add the fact that if I wouldn't have returned your wallet, the likelihood is you would never have gotten it back. Okay, that's what the Ran adds on in order to give an explanation to this to the case of the Mishnah. So therefore, I am clearly giving you something, even though it was yours originally, but you would have lost it and you would have had nothing. And the fact that I'm giving it back to you gives you a benefit that you wouldn't have otherwise had, because it was only me who was going to be able to return it. I'm not allowed to give you a benefit, so I can't return it to you. So the case of the Mishnah is limited to that case where I can only return it if the Baal Aveda is the one who has the prohibition. But if the Machzor is the one who has the prohibition, he can't return it because he's now giving him a benefit. That's one version of the, that's one sheet between Rav Ami and Rav Asi. V'chadomar, afilu nichsei machzor asur na Baal Aveda. Even if the finder is not allowed to give a benefit, still mutter, it's going to be mutter to return it. Because like we would understand it, because when I'm returning it, at the end of the day, I'm only giving you back your object. It was your object in the first place. So what did I give you? I didn't give you anything. I didn't add an extra benefit. It's true that you lost it. But at the end of the day, you're back to where you started. And you didn't get anything extra. So it's mutter for me to return. So it's a machlokes whether returning the object is considered giving you an extra or not considered giving you an extra. Okay. Then the Gemara asks, similar to the top of the Amud, it's non, but we learned, Makum shenoitel no le'eschar, tipel ano lehektish. So then we say, the maka, where the Mishnah then concludes and says, but if I get payment for the returning the object, that payment has to go to Hektish. Now let's see the scenario over here again. So what case are we talking about? There's one sheet, the first sheet that the Gemara quoted here was only, the case of the Mishnah was only talking about where the Baal Aveda was the one who was prohibited, but the Machzor could never return it because he'd be giving a benefit. And the second sheet says, no, it could be talking both scenarios. We're talking about, it doesn't matter who's usher and who's mutter, both scenarios, I could return it. So now, so if you're saying that even when the finder is not allowed to give a benefit, he can still return it because that's not considered a benefit. So now I understand why we have the case of the Mishnah, because the Mahadir is returning the object. And since he can return the object, so now the Mishnah has to tell us that since he's going to return the object, and now the guy's going to want to pay me, and he's going to say, no, I'm too rich, I don't want to take the payment. So we understand, I can't take that benefit because he's not allowed to give me the benefits, I have to give the money to Hektish. That makes sense. Elamandi Yomer v'shenichzei machzor asurin the loy mahader, take out the above loy mahader. But according to the gears, the Mandi Yomer that says that when I'm not allowed to give a benefit, I can't return it, that case doesn't exist. So heichem etaretz mokum. So then, what would be the case of the Mishnah if that's pshat? And how would that work? If only the machzor is the one who's usher to give, and he's not allowed to return the object, so what would be the scenario that now he has to make a payment and he can't make, and I'm moichel and so on and so forth? The whole scenario doesn't work. So kasha. The Gemara says you're right, that according to this girsa, that is going to be very difficult. Okay, so by process of elimination, the Ran therefore says that the psak halacha at the end of the day is that the case of the Mishnah has to be that it's essentially like the first girsa, that we're going like the Mandi Yomer, that whether it's the Machzor that's usher, whether it's the Baal Aveda that's usher, you're going to be able to return it, and it's going to be mutter to return in both ways. That's the only case that actually both girsas in the Gemara agree that works in the Mishnah. Okay. That takes us to the bottom of Amud Aleph. So now the Gemara continues with on top of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. And the Gemara now quotes what would appear to be a relatively random halacha, but it's going to tie back in on the bottom of the Amud. So Amar Rav, Hoysa Lefanav Kika Shal Hefker. If there was an object that belonged, a loaf of bread that was hefker on the floor in the Rishus Harabim, va'omar kika zu hektish, and the person who sees it, who finds it, says, I want this bread to be donated to hektish. Now, what's the case? The Ran explains that the case is that it's within your dalet amos, so I could make a kinyan. Now, I didn't actually make a kinyan on it, because if I made a kinyan on it first and then donated it to Hektish, then none of the halachas that we're going to discuss in a moment are going to be relevant, because I'm no different than a gizbar, than anybody who's holding on to something Hektish. I'm allowed to deal with it, because I'm allowed to deal with it. I didn't actually do anything to it. I'm just moving it around, so it's going to be mutter. But being within the Dalet Amos is enough for me to be able to make it hektish, just like the Ran points out, which is very interesting, just like I'm able to pick up an object when it's in my Dalet Amos for the purposes of, for my friend, I'm allowed to pick up something from Hefker to make it belong to somebody else. So too, I could pick up something from Hefker to make it belong to hektish. Okay, so the hektish is chal. Now, once the hektish is chal, I pick it up to eat it. Now, I didn't actually eat it. I picked it up for the purposes of eating it. So I was trying to steal it, so to speak, to eat it. So then, since I never picked it up as mine. So again, as I said, if it was first mine and then I made a hektish, this wouldn't be relevant, because I'm allowed to pick it up, I'm allowed to move it, and I didn't actually do anything to it, so there would be no issue. But here, it wasn't mine, it belonged to Hektish, and I picked it up la'oichla to eat it, ma lefi kula, then I have to pay the entire value of this loaf of bread, the sandwich, whatever you want to call it, so then I have to pay the full value. As opposed to, and the point of Chiddush over here is, la'irisha lebanov, but if I pick it up, not to eat it immediately, but rather to hold on to it so that I can give it to my children, ma lefi toivas hanoa sheba, so then I'm considered stealing it, because I'm trying to remove it from Hektish, I'm trying to keep it for my own purposes, but I'm only obligated to pay the benefit that I would get from it for the appreciation that my Yoshim would have for me trying to give them something extra that they didn't have before. Okay, so that's Rava's halacha. Again, on its side, it seems to be random. It's going to tie back into the Gemara. It's going to tie back into the Gemara now. Okay, so again, the case was that I never picked it up for myself. I made it hektish immediately. I made it directly hektish. But if I try to steal it to own it all, so then I'm going to be responsible to pay for it all. If I steal it for the purpose of giving it to somebody else, then I only have to pay for the benefit of the appreciation that I would have for giving it to somebody else. Okay, that's the halacha. Now that we've established that there's the din of hektish, the Gemara continues. Now that we've established that there's a din of me'ilah, so the Gemara now says, "Boy minei Rav Chiya bar Abin me'rov." So Rav Chiya asked the following question: "Ki kari olaich?" He said, "A person says, I want my loaf of bread to be usher to you." Okay, v'nasa loy b'matana mahu. And then, after I say, my loaf of bread is usur, I go ahead and I actually give it to you, and I try to make it yours. So, does that work or not? Ki kari amar loy. So do we focus on the fact that I said it was my loaf of bread, and therefore, ki isa berishusei huda usur, so it's only usur when it's actually in my rishus, because I only meant that while it's mine, it's usur. But when it's yours, so then it's not going to be usur, because it's not mine anymore. I only don't want it that while it's mine, that you should have any benefit. But if once I give it to you, then it's yours, then you can do whatever you want with it. That's one side. And it would be mutter. Idilma alayach amar lay. Or do we focus on the fact that I say, I want the isur to be upon you, so aluye shabse hektish. As far as you are concerned, it is considered hektish. For your purposes, it is considered hektish. Therefore, it means that even after I give it to you, it's already your, so to speak, your relationship with this object is that it's like hektish, and therefore it's asur, and you're not allowed to take it even after I give it to you. So it has nothing to do with when it's mine. It has to do with the fact that it was mine, and therefore I can create the isur. But now that I have created this isur, this object becomes asur to you, and you're not allowed to have any benefit from it even after I give it to you. Okay. Fine. So the next line of the Gemara then is really also the Ran has the same girsa also, but then after that, it's good. Once again, the Ran and Rashi have slightly different girsois in how to read the Gemara, and actually comes out with a different conclusion based on what the girsa is. So Amar Lei. So remember, this was a question that Rav Chiya asked Rava. So Amar Lei. So Rava answered, Pshita. It's pasha to apagav the yav le b'matana aser. He says no, I agree that once I gave that, even after I give it to you, it's still going to be aser. That is the whole point of saying kikari, that it's mine. I'm not allowed to give it. I'm not allowed. You're not allowed to have any benefit from this loaf of bread. So now the way the girsa that the Ran has, if you look at about five lines from the bottom, you'll see the Ran says the e loy alayich. Because if not for the fact that it is usher completely on you, this is not the gear that we have in our Gemara. The Ran has a different gear. So if it's not for the fact that it's completely usher to you, what would be the point of me saying this? You're going to think that it's coming to tell us a case of stealing, which bitmiyo, meaning I'll agree that, well, you know, even if you want to argue. Okay, so again, that's not exactly the girsa that we have. We have el kikara leich lafuke my lav lafuke di migva ganva. That it sounds the way our Gemara has it, migva ganva is actually an answer. But that's not the way the Ran learns the Gemara. The Gemara Ran learns that this is all Rava speaking, and again, it makes a nafkamina. It's going to make a nafkamina for how the Ran learns pshat on lamed hay also. So so he's learning that this is all Rava speaking, and Rava is saying that why did I make it usher? I made it usher because as long as me and you have this relationship, I can't give it to you. I can't give you this benefit. And therefore, and what are you going to tell me? Yes, it is possible that you could potentially get this benefit, that if it was stolen and now it no longer belongs to me, so now it, so to speak, it broke the chain and it belongs to somebody else and he could do whatever he wants with that thing. That is not something, the way the Ran learns, that I would have contemplated. I never would have contemplated that scenario when I made the isser on my loaf of bread. And therefore, as far as I'm concerned, everything about this loaf of bread is usser to you. And even after I give it to you, it's going to be usser. So the way the Ran learns, Rava is saying this in conclusion. This is a statement. This is not a question, this is a statement. And he's saying, I meant to make it completely usher to you. Because in the off chance that there's a scenario that it gets stolen, maybe that halacha is different. But I'm not talking about that case, because I don't think about when something is, when I have a loaf of bread on my kitchen table, I don't think about, oh, maybe it'll be stolen and therefore by through the stealing it'll be, I don't think about that. So since I don't think about that, excuse me, as far as I'm concerned, it's completely usher, and therefore even if I give it to you, it's going to be usher. To which, the according to this girsa, to which the Reb Chiya now responds, Amar Lei, Loi, that's not true. That's not what I necessarily meant. La'afuke di'yazmana elei. That I could, what I'm saying is, the reason why I said kikar mimer, it's a very funny lashon, when I said I want to make my loaf of bread usher to you. So what I'm trying to say here is that my loaf of bread is usher, meaning even if I invite you into my house, I still want this loaf of bread to be usher. Because now the interesting is like this. Why is kikari such a funny thing to say? Because really, technically, I don't have to make a neder in the first place. I don't have to make a neder on my object in the first place, because you're not allowed to take my object. If it belongs to me, you can't take something from me. I mean, it would be geneva if you take it from me. So I don't have to usher it on you, because it anyway belongs to me and not to you. So what would be the point of saying kikari? So the answer is that I want to say this even if I invite you into my house. And even if you theoretically now have a permission, so let's say, for example, I invite you over to my house for the Shabbos Suda, and I say, come to my house, I'm inviting you in, but then I say, kikari alecha, alayach, this piece of bread should be aser, so even though I invited you in, I'm still making this aser. Okay, so it comes, so therefore Reb Chiya says, okay, so your whole point was, why else would I be making it usur? I obviously wanted to make it usur for everybody. It's not true. Really, I only wanted to make it usur while it belongs to me. Right? So why would I make this nether anyway? I didn't have to give it to you. The answer is, I want to make this nether even if I invite you into my house. I still don't want you to eat this loaf of bread. This thing, for whatever reason, is off limits. I don't want to give it to you. So the way the Ran learns the Shakla V'Tayra of the Gemara is Rava's conclusion is that it is completely usur even after I give it to you b'matana. And even though I said kikari, I don't mean only while it belongs to me. I mean even after I give it to you. And I'm just emphasizing kikari because I want to say that now that it's mine to make it usur, I'm mamish making it usur forever. That would be Rava's conclusion. And Reb Chiya's conclusion is no. That since I said kikari, I only want it to be usur while it's mine. But once I give it to you, so then it's not going to be usur anymore. I only meant that while it's mine, no matter what I say to you, it's going to remain usur. Once I give it to you, it's going to be completely mutter. So it comes out, a machloikis between Rav and Reb Chiya, what the maskana of the Gemara is. However, just so that you know, that's the Ran's girsa in our Gemara. Our Gemara, as I pointed out, does have a slightly different girsa than the Ran. And according to the other girsa, it comes out just the opposite. That Rava is saying that it's only usur while it's mine. But if it's stolen, it wouldn't be usur. To which Reb Chiya is saying, no, that's not true. Even if it was stolen, it's not what the case is coming to Lafuke. The case is coming to Lafuke that if I invite you into my house, that it's still going to be usur. But if it would be stolen, if it would be stolen, it would still be usur. So it comes out according to that other girsa, which we're not going to focus on. I'm focusing more on the Ran's girsa, but just so that you know and you're aware that the Rishonim, the Mefarish and other Rishonim learned that the girsa, according to the girsa, comes out exactly the opposite. That Ravu is trying to emphasize that if it gets stolen, it would be mutter. And Reb Chiya would then be coming back and saying, no, it's not true. Not necessarily. That's not the only case where it would be mutter. It could be mutter. It could be usur when I invite you over to my house. But therefore, it could also be usur. Can continue to be usur even after it's stolen. That's again. I'm not going to focus on that shita, but that's the other way to learn the girsa and the gemara. But in conclusion, but the Ran's girsa, which will let's focus on the Ran's girsa. And the Ran's girsa is going to be. The point is that Rava concludes that while it belongs to me, it's usur. It's usur because it belongs to me, and therefore, it should be usur even if I give it to you, because that's why I made my loaf of bread usur. And the only way it would be mutter is if I break the chain, so to speak, and someone else steals it. And the Ran, but otherwise, it's going to be usur even after I give it to you. And Reb Chiya argues and says, no, that's not true. That's Rava's conclusion. But Reb Chiya's conclusion is, no, that it's only usur while it's in my possession. And that's why I made the nether. Even if I invite you over, while it's in my possession, it's going to be usur. But if I take it out of my possession, I give it to you as a clear matana, it's now yours. You could do whatever you want with it. The reason why I'm saying kikari is because I want to limit it specifically to this item. To this either specific item, this loaf, specific loaf of bread, or maybe all bread versus everything else, other food that I have in my house. But the point is, I'm saying kikari only because I want to emphasize that it's limited to this, to a specific item. That's the way Reb Chiya will learn. I think that's very important that the Ran does point out over here, and we'll conclude with that, is that the Ran asks, there are many cases that we are already familiar with in Masechtas Nedarim, where if I make a neder, then it's usur for me to give you that object. So why is the Gemara over here asking whether it's mutter or usur for me to give you that object? For example, the famous case that you may recall is when you have two people traveling in the desert, and one of them makes a neder, I'm not giving any hana to the other guy. So, and then all of a sudden, the other person runs out of water, runs out of food. So the Gemara over there says, okay, so what do you do? Because I'm not allowed to give him anything. So what do I do? So if there's a third person there, again, I could break the chain, I give it to that third person, and then that third person. Or I can go to the Chenvani, and the guy buys it from the Chenvani, that's another case. But I cannot, or if there's nobody there, I could put it on the rock, and it become make it Hefker, and then it's a question whether the Hefker is good enough, and he could take it. But the point is, I can't give it to him. So we have clear Gemaras to answer this question about whether or not it's mutter for me to take my object and give it to somebody else. So why over here is the Gemara asking this as a question? We already answered this question many times in a few different scenarios, that it's also for me, once I make something also, it's also for me to give benefit to you. So the Ran answers that over there, all those cases was when I give a general Isser Hano. When I made a general Isser Hano, and I said, I am not giving you a benefit. So now the problem is, if I can't give you a benefit, so even if I give it to you, that's giving, the giving itself is usur. The giving itself is the benefit of giving you something, even if you want to say later, now that it's mine, it's not usur anymore. But I can't give it to you. That's the problem, because giving itself is going to be the isur. Whereas over here, I'm not giving you a general isur hano. Over here, I'm specifically making this loaf of bread usur. So therefore, the Gemara wants to know. The giving itself is not what's usur, because I'm not usuring hano. I'm only answering the bread. So I could give it to you. And once I give it to you, it's yours and you can do whatever you want. And then the question is, once I said this loaf of bread, did I mean to say that the loaf of bread becomes usur and remains usur forever? That's why this case is different than all those other cases that we might have seen before, where it would have been prohibited from, once I make a neder, from the person who makes the isser to give it to the other person. Okay, so we're gonna stop over here and we're gonna pick up as a continuation on Daf Lamed Hei.